Hello, hello. We are back after the FA Cup weekend and all the madness of those festive fixtures we've had. We now seem to be back at sort of a normal FPL rate, which is great, to be honest. I found the festive period even a little bit hectic for me, FPL-wise. So it's actually quite nice just to watch some FA Cup football, some no VAR football as well. Still a few dodgy refereeing decisions across the weekend and the League Cup as well, where City won 2-0 in that and Arsenal won 3-2 in a very entertaining game, actually, with Chelsea, where we will have conversations about Chelsea and United with their new managerial changes and how they're going to set up and all that guff and waffle. But yeah, in terms of the last game week, which feels like yonks ago now, but the last game of that game week was the 0-0 with Arsenal and Liverpool, which saved my game week. I basically got a 7k green arrow. So after 3 red arrows, I finally got a nice green arrow. And actually, looking back at that now, looking at it, I looked at that team and I thought, I'm okay for this week. And I still feel that way. Spoiler alert, this is going to be my first roll since game week 2. So I constantly have wanted to tinker my team here, there and everywhere. And, you know, I had a little bit of fun with it during the festive period with all those hits I took. It ended up being I took about a minus 40 during that whole festive period of games. And still, I've actually come out okay, 434k. And look, if you said going into game week 22, you know, you'd be 434k. And taking all this amount of hits along with it, I've been like, okay, yeah, I'll take that. But, you know, serious mode now. I think this is where the chips get planned, if you can plan them. I understand some wildcards have been used already. And that's more for the people who have had a crap first half of the season. I get it. You basically want to start again to basically go, right, second half of the season is where I'm going to come back. And I get it. I'm not against it at all. I even considered the wild card at one point last week when I thought, yeah, that's it. My luck's run out here. I need to do something. But as I just said earlier, the Arsenal defence saved me. Bruno G. Hall saved me again. And Thiago as well. I captained Thiago last week. I keep forgetting about that. Brentford won 3-0. And Brentford are also in a Champions League place. I've only told the Slack about 100 times that Brentford are in a Champions League place for the next, well, until probably Saturday. But yeah, I was buzzing about that, excuse the pun. So yeah, we'll go through my team, discuss the game week prior briefly, and then we'll have a look at what lies ahead for this weekend. So, Donnarumma with a 1. He got a yellow card and conceded a goal against Brighton with no save points. So, look, it was one of them. Donnarumma, goalkeepers. If I was wildcarding, and this is going to sound biased, but I don't think it is. If I was wildcarding, I think I would get off this whole premium goalkeeper and then Dubravka malarkey. I still have Dubravka. I think every FPL player and their mother has Dubravka. And I get it, right? He'll get you save points. He may get the odd clean sheet here and there. And then it's finding that value for someone else. And if I was on a wildcard right now, I'd be getting Kelleher. It'd be Kelleher or Roofs. I know there's been a few conversations about Roofs is better than Kelleher. And I get it. The Sunderland defence is probably slightly that much better than Brentford. So I agree. But, you know, Kelleher's saving penalties as well. Having said that, Ruth had a FA Cup penalty shootout and he saved all three of the penalties. So, you know, he can save him as well. I mean, at the moment, Donnarumma's not a fire I need to put out. He's still a brilliant goalkeeper and City will keep some clean sheets along the way. But until our wild cards, you know, Donnarumma, set and forget. It is what it is. Leave it be. And then we had Timber and Gabriel with both getting sixes. I think at one point, Gabriel was on a two bonus. And then he missed that chance right at the end, which basically took all his bonus away, which is really annoying. But yeah, look, double Arsenal defence, still doing the business. I actually want to get off the double Arsenal defence, which seems crazy considering what they've just done this game week for me. But I really... Going into my midfield briefly, I want Saka, Rice, Gabriel. Having said that, I'm beginning to really lose patience with Saka. Yeah, great, you know, he's getting threes, fours, sixes, but he's not doing enough for a 10.3 midfielder, whatever he is now. And he's getting his Forest game, and he will probably get... See, this is the thing. He's got Forest, he's got United, and then he's got Leeds, and it's kind of like you're still sitting there, you're going... He's going to haul in this one. He's going to haul in this one. And, like, there's three games there where Saka can easily haul. And I kind of... I love Saka. And I think that's probably the issue here. I love him. I think he's a brilliant player. I think he's guaranteed that right-hand spot for England in the World Cup. But we need to see more from him. And I don't know what it is. He's just not as clinical as he was last season. And he still doesn't quite seem to have that connection with Gyökeres yet. He seems to have it with the others. He seems to have it with Marino. He seems to have it with Gabriel Jesus. But he doesn't have it with Gyökeres. So, I don't know. There may be something in that. But who knows. But Saka, Rice, Gabriel is the three I want. At the moment, I've got Timber, Gabriel, Saka. But it's like, Rice is that gnawing feeling. I'm like, I need to get you in my team, but I can't do it without a hit. Now, you're probably thinking, well, George, you're taking hits left, right and centre. But I'm at this point now where I have to be really careful about it. And on the flip side, I currently have double Arsenal defence. And Forest, United and Leeds, next three, is worthy of having a double Arsenal defence. It's just Saka needs to turn up. Because there's going to come a point, it might even be next week, where if I do roll, Saka goes for Rice, and then potentially Gordon goes for Bruno. That's like early thoughts of what I might do next week. But back into my defence, I got Chiao last week, which after he got his 18-pointer, I think it was. Or was it 24? I can't remember. And then he gets a minus one. Just has the worst game he's ever had for Newcastle. So I weren't happy with that. They've got Wolves this week. So hopefully he'll do better. But yeah, we'll have to wait and see on that one. And then into the midfield. So Bruno G with the 11, as I said. Saving my game week again. Yeah, at home, he's just a machine, isn't he? And I think he's a great player as well. I think he's one of them who goes very under the radar, but he's integral to what Newcastle try and do on that field. And a lot of it actually does go through him. Albeit, look, he got the penalty, and if Gordon stays on, then he gets the penalty and he gets me a haul. But, you know, thank God for Bruno G for this game week. Saka, which we talked about, he got a free, the clean sheet point. Verts the same game, clean sheet point, so another free. Gordon got the one, he played 70 minutes, but he got the yellow card. Cherky got a one because he started off the bench. Now, again, I'm kind of diving into my transfers a bit early here. After Semenyo's come in, played two games and scored, well, really three goals, but the third got wrongly disallowed against Newcastle. But he scored against Exeter. Fine, it's Exeter. But then, yeah, I thought he was brilliant against Newcastle. Now, Cherki didn't start the FA Cup game, and he didn't start the League Cup game, and he didn't start the Sunderland game before that. So there is this little anxiety I have now with Pep Roulette. It's like, right, well, Semenyo's start, I think he started the FA Cup one as well, but he's just started the last two, albeit cup games. Cherki hasn't started the last two cup games. Now, is Pep going to play, try and play both of them together in the derby, or is it going to be one or the other? That's my worry. And that, as much as I want to roll, there's this gnawing feeling in me that's saying he's going to bench Cherki again and he's going to start Semenya. I'm hoping he starts both, and I think that's what Pep will probably do. But yeah, I mean, I'm going to roll because I need to roll, I think. I need to go into a week where I've got 2-3 transfers at least. But this is kind of like Cherki's. Well, this is where we find out, I think, whether Cherki's still the boy. I mean, he's got 8 assists in 10 starts for City, which is mental. So I'm still hoping Pep backs him and Semenya wasn't a buy to kind of put him on the bench. I think Semenya starts again, though. I think Cherki to Semenya is an easy transfer, but I think I'm just going to give him one more week and have a spin on Pep Roulette and hope it lands on Cherki. But we'll have to wait and see. And then the front two, Haaland with a penalty goal, so a 6. Still, I think it's 8 games now. He's not scored in open play. And look, I've had... let's dive into this, because I've had conversations with Danny on the Slack a lot this week, the last sort of... since the last game week about it. And almost anyone else, any other striker not scoring in open play in the last 8 games, you're selling. You're 100% you're selling. And the thing is, a lot of people will follow you to do that. However, it's Haaland. And despite that, bear with me. There is a point coming here. Despite that, Haaland is still 74.2% owned. As much as I agree, I actually do agree with the narrative Danny spins, by the way. Like, you know, he's not scored in 8 open play games. Like, sorry, 8 games in open play. Anyone else, you're getting off it. But while the EO is still that EO, you just cannot, it's not worth the risk. And the other thing is as well, I would get it. Let's say Salah, you know, there was no AFCON. And now Haaland's blanking and Salah's getting 1 goal here, 2 goals there. Like, he's ticking over. 100% you could go, right, bye-bye. We're going back to the Salah teams. Fine. Great. The problem is, if you get rid of that Haaland money, you've got so much money to play with, but you won't know where to put it because all the premiums ain't actually doing the bit. Like, Palmer's still injured, basically. Saka's not performing at the levels we know he can. Salah's at AFCON, and before he went to AFCON, he's having like an episode of EastEnders with the Liverpool club and manager. I'm trying to think of another premium. Bruno Fernandes is the only one who can actually go, you can sort of say, okay, he's the one that's turned up as a premium. Gabriel as well. But after that, like, there's no one else to go to. Like, sure, you could have maybe a... you could have, I don't know, Thiago, João Pedro, and... I'm trying to think of another. But that's the other thing as well. There's no other decent strikers. Like, really, the top 3 strikers in the league this season have currently been DCL, Thiago, and Haaland. I mean... We're game week 23, and outside of Haaland, your two best strikers are one that plays for Brentford and one that plays for Leeds. You know, the number nines ain't doing as much as we would like them to this season. So Haaland, again, he's kind of like just a set and forget, because the goals will come for him again. And it's the Manchester derby. I think getting off him on the Manchester derby is complete suicide. If people start to have enough of Haaland, if Salah does come back and starts firing here, there and everywhere, and everything's all rosy again at Liverpool, then absolutely, I'd probably be with you to go, right, bye-bye Haaland, Salah comes in, and go from there. But while he's at EO, it's FPL suicide. He may go another 8 games and not score an open play goal and just get a penalty goal here and there. Or he may get a double against United, then get a hat-trick against Wolves, and then get 2 goals against Spurs. That's the kind of player he is. He doesn't need to do a lot. He just needs to be there and hope the service comes to him. And I think with Semenyo now in, with Cherky and all that around him, the goals will come back for Haaland eventually. We could see him potentially benched for maybe Wolves. Give Marmoush the game and, you know, give him a little bit of a rest, because Pep did say Haaland needs a rest. That could definitely happen, where we get hit by Pep roulette again. But until Palmer starts turning up, until Salah starts turning up, I don't, as even though he's blanking, it's just not, It's just a bad idea to get off him for me. If you want to get off him and completely, you know, rearrange your team with a no Haaland based team, you got big balls, my friend, to do it. Honestly, but I just don't think it's worth the risk. And finally, Thiago, my captain. I gave my points on why I thought it was a good captaincy option. I backed it, and annoyingly, Steve backed it as well. If he didn't back it, I would be top of my mini league. But no, he decided to. I mean, you know, when you put your advice out there on a podcast, I can't blame him for taking my advice. It, you know, I'm glad he did, because it works well for him. But at the same time, I'm pissed, because I would have been top of the leaderboard. But it is what it is. You know, new week. I'm not angry at all. Fair play to Steve. He listened. He went with it. Unlike someone else, Claire. But yeah, look, great week. 61. Green arrow, as I said, 434k. We've had a nice little break, so we go into next week. So my team as it stands, and this, I'm 80% sure this will be the team that I go with, and the captaincy. So, Donnarumma in goal, Man United away, yeah, or Dubravka Liverpool away, I'll take the United away, please. Now, before I continue, I've got one home fixture in my team. There is two players on my bench I could play for a home fixture, but yeah, just putting it out there. So, Timber, Gabriel, double Arsenal defence. Chow again with Wolves away. And then we have a midfield of Bruno G, Saka, Cherky, Gordon, Wirtz. And then a front two of Thiago and Haaland. So basically, now this is the only thing with my team now. I'm very troubled up. I'm troubled up on 3 different teams. Which... Yeah, look, if these teams are winning and scoring goals, then great, these players should be involved in that. If they're keeping clean sheets, great, these players should be involved in that. If it gets a bit hairy, then I've got a problem. I will say though, this will be the last game I have triple Newcastle. You know, this is the last of the nice fixtures until Newcastle have a really, really tough run coming up. They got Villa, Liverpool. I think they got City again at some point. Brentford, Yeah. Arsenal as well. So there's some very, very tough, on top of Champions, some tough Champions League games as well. So you kind of maybe want to get off, if not one, maybe two of them. I need Yurch to chow. I kind of realise that now. But look, it's Wolves away, and that's the kind of fixture I wanted him for. And yeah, we're just going to roll, I think, this week. But so I've lost my trade of thought there. Yeah, so I'm troubled up on three different teams. So I want to roll so I can have two transfers to maybe at least get off, as I said, one or two of the trebles. My early thoughts for next week at the moment are Cherki to Semenyo, so I still would be on Free City. But then Gordon would become Bruno. That's my plan at the moment. It could change. Krupa Jr. is someone really interesting to me. And again, if I didn't want to roll, that's something I could do. I think I just have enough to do it. I could do Mark Guiu to Krupa Jr., which is very tempting because I think now Semenyo's gone, Krupa Jr. is going to be like that. Oh, hello, I'm the next world-class player at Bournemouth that, you know, is going to be get you a big money sell at Bournemouth again. I think he's shown signs of brilliance when he did come into the team when Evan Nilsson wasn't around. I think Krupa Jr. will potentially go into that Semenyo role, potentially. The other option is also Tavernier as well. I could go maybe Gordon to Tavernier for a one-week punt. I think if Newcastle had almost anyone else, I would probably take Gordon out because he's been he's been a Krusty the Clown. Reason I say that, have you seen the memes of his haircut? He literally looks like Krusty the Clown. Nicole sent in the Slack and it was absolutely, I was howling when I saw it. But yeah, I mean, there's nowhere really I really, really want to go this week. I can't go Semenyo unless I sell Cherki. I can't go Rice unless I take a hit. So sell Timber and then sell Cherki, for example, to then get Rice. I think with all the FA Cup games and the League Cup games we've had 2 days ago and yesterday, you kind of just, right, let's just get back into the FPL, see how things feel, and then go from there. And then I can get two free transfers. Wildcard 24 is on the cards, potentially. But I want to see how these next two game weeks go before I do that. A lot of people are wildcarding this week to go early on Chelsea. From what I've seen from Chelsea, I don't want to go early, like at all. I think if I had to get a Chelsea player in right now, it would probably be Neto or Garnacho. Garnacho's been playing really well. He had a really good game against Arsenal when he came on, and he looked lively. I know it was only Charlton, but he looked lively against them as well. And on the fixtures, yeah, I mean, 24, West Ham, Wolves, Leeds, Burnley, and then Arsenal, and then it gets a bit sticky there. Look, I get it. The West Ham one I get, Wolves one, Wolves away, Wolves are starting to play again. They're starting to have a bit about them. I'm not convinced, you know, that's an easy fixture. Leeds at home, you know. Leeds and Burnley now, they need to start, not so much Leeds, more Burnley, but they need to start winning games. And we get to this stage of the season where playing against these relegation sides isn't always a good thing. And my narrative is, quite frankly, and, you know, you're not going to get this kind of punditry or advice anywhere else. I don't trust Chelsea. That is it. That is the main, you know, I think we just spoke about Krusty the Clown a minute ago. Chelsea is literally, it's like an episode of Krusty the Clown. It's a circus. It's an absolute circus. And we had a long chat on it in the Slack with Jonathan, who was, you know, rightly agitated because, you know, Chelsea were making sloppy mistakes at the back, albeit, you know, offensively, they actually looked all right. But it was more down to Arsenal mistakes as well. Chelsea, Maresca said some things he shouldn't have said. Chelsea had gone, right, we're not having that, off you pop. And then they've gone, and this is very similar to Man United, by the way. They've simply gone, we just sacked our manager, what do we do now? And it was kind of like, oh no, let's save a few quid here. Let's get the guy who's already on Bowley's payroll anyway. Let's just transfer him to Chelsea and let's see how he does. Now, Danny, you're getting mentioned on my pod loads here today. But Danny, he knows Rossignol in terms of he's a whole fan and he was a whole manager. And he said how, you know, Rossignol wants to sweeper keeper, and he wants to play out from the back, he wants to do this. And we saw that against Chelsea and they were making mistakes. And a team like Wolves, like Leeds, like Burnley, they will put pressure on you because they're like, well, it's do or die now, lads. We need to win these kind of games. And there's no one in that Chelsea side right now who you can go, that's who I want in my FPL team. Which is why I get the wild cards purely for league positions and where you are in FPL ranks. I get all that. But the whole narrative that people have done it to get in early on Chelsea players, I'm just not on board with at all. Because I just don't trust them. I think we'll see a lot of what Chelsea are like against a Brentford side that's really on form at the moment, who's scoring goals for fun, by the way. Last away game, you know, we put, you know, FA Cup, we won away against Sheffield Wednesday, which, you know, is Sheffield Wednesday, no offence, Jonathan. And then we scored 4 against Everton. We scored 3 at home against Sunderland. We scored 4 against Bournemouth. The only team we haven't scored against in our last 5 games was Spurs. And I mean, they're the only team we haven't scored against since we lost 1-0 to City, by the way. So Chelsea-Brentford would be an interesting test to Rossignol. Because like I just said, we will put pressure on Chelsea's back line. Palace looks shattered. So I think maybe that's more of a game where we can more see what Chelsea is really about. I think Chelsea will be allowed to play more against Palace than they will against us. But, and that's why I want to wait for till maybe 24. If Chelsea are firing, if Chelsea beat Brentford and then they beat Palace and everything looks, oh, okay, maybe Rossignol does know what he's doing. 100%. I'll be, you know, wild card 24, bit of Neto, bit of Enzo maybe, you know, great. I just don't trust Chelsea. The difference is between Chelsea and United, by the way, because United are same thing. They're, you know, they brought a manager in. The difference was Maresca was actually doing well. Amorim was doing nothing. And, you know, United fans have come to me saying, oh, no, there was improvement, there was this, there was that. No, they weren't. You were drawing to West Ham, Bournemouth, Leeds. Like, no, you weren't winning games, quite frankly. And albeit AFCON came into play and Bruno got injured and all that. And I get all that. And I, you know, not slating United at all, but whatever Amin was trying to do, it wasn't working anyway, quite frankly. So I think him going wasn't a big deal. It was more, you know, who comes in now kind of thing. And they got Carrick in. And it's another one of them, oh, well, he knows the club. It's like, well, right, he knows the club. Like, what's he going to change? And nothing's really going to change until the hierarchy gets sorted out. But that's another conversation. But the difference between Chelsea and United is United have Bruno. United have that world-class player who will get you FPL points. With Chelsea, they seem a little bit scattered. One moment it's Neto, the next Garnacho will get a little haul. Pedro will get a couple of goals here and there. And then Delap pops up on the scene and it's like, oh, hello. But really, the guy we want to perform is Palmer. It would be in all of our best interests if Palmer just came up and went, hello, I'm here, I'm back, fully fit. Hello, hat-trick here, two goals here, penalties there. Like, you know, the Palmer we know. But he's obviously not fully fit. He's still having issues. And we can't go there. So when the nice fixture comes for Chelsea, we're hoping in these next 2 weeks we will find someone who goes, hello, I play in blue and you can pick me in your FPL team. And at the moment, I think you're just guessing because it's going to, as I say, new system, by the way, to what Maresca was at. So we're just going to have to wait and see with Chelsea and probably maybe take a punt. But again, I don't trust Chelsea. So there is a world where I don't take a punt on Chelsea at all. That's my little mini rant on the whole Chelsea United situation. United fans, don't hate me. Jonathan, don't hate me. Just, you know, I don't trust either of you. But Bruno is world class, so that probably is where I'm going to go next week. In terms of this week, as I said, I'm going to roll. I'm going to bite my tongue and hope Cherki starts instead of Semenyo, or he starts with Semenyo. As long as he starts, I don't care. Captaincy. Now, there's a few places you could go here. If you believe Bruno G is going to get a triple, another haul, yeah, don't mind it. He can easily pop up. He's got his last three, he's got a 10, 10 and 11. So I do not hate it at all. Gabriel, don't mind it. Gabriel, set piece attacker. Clean sheet is probably, I'd say, 70% happening. If I had to have a guess. Thiago, as I just said, I think Chelsea at the back look leaky now. So Thiago could 100% get a goal or two in that. Haaland, but again, we've discussed his open play performances. And it's a 12:30 kickoff, so I never do the early as a captaincy. Very, very rarely have I done it. And whenever I have done it, it's not paid off. So that's my little rule. So my current captain is Wirtz. He's the only home fixture. He's really impressing me at the moment, Wirtz. He got a 3, a 10 and a 3. He was unlucky not to get something against Leeds. I think before that he got a goal and an assist as well. I think that was against Wolves. Yeah. He looked really good against Fulham. He was unlucky not to win a penalty against Arsenal, by the way. I think that was a penalty for Arsenal in that game. And I just think we're seeing the Wirtz that Liverpool bought. He's finally coming into his shell. And maybe that's because everyone else is injured that he's kind of had to show a little bit of something. But, yeah, I think that's the nicest fixture of the lot. I would love to go with Thiago for the West London Derby, but I just think I'm putting it probably too much emotion into that pick if I go there. Saka, again, I suppose he's an option as well, but he's not. I don't trust him enough at the moment to get me a haul. I trust Wirtz more than Saka at the moment. I don't think Salah comes back into this game either. So Wirtz will be the man they'll look for. I think I'm going to go Wirtz. I'm going to captain Wirtz. I think you can go for a punt this week, by the way. You don't have to just go Haaland and hope for the best. I think, as I said, you can go Bruno G, who's got 3 double-digit hauls in a row. You can go Gabriel, purely just for a clean sheet. You know, that's a 12-pointer if you don't get a bonus, which is potentially more than Haaland would get, for example, this week. I've made him my captain very early on, and I think I'm going to stick with it. That's the pod, guys. Hope you enjoy, and green arrows.